Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Game went on today. Abe was in goal. What was your injury, by the way?
I have a calf tightness.
Okay.
And
right.
it would have gotten bad if I had played field today, unfortunately. Very frustrating because I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well.
And I almost didn't it tightened up yesterday playing pickleball. And I almost
Oh, so you did too much.
Yeah, I almost like yesterday was like I should just not play pickleball just in case.
Okay. You should have made a better
decision.
And
it was like the last game.
I hear you. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rick Stroud, we love his work. Tampa Bay Times has covered the league for a long time. Rick, thanks for the time today. We've been trying to go around the league and certainly our division and talk to our guys about what our teams did in division. Tell me about this draft. They went wide receiver in the first round at 19 with Abuka, the kid out of Ohio State. Did you like that pick? Did you feel like that was a need? You know, you still have Mike Evans there. How was that received, should I say?
Yeah, I mean, look, they have bigger needs, particularly at inside linebacker, but it didn't fall that way for them. And I think they fell in love with Emeka Abuka early on, you know, in the process, as much about the person as the player, if that makes sense. But look, you know, last year, Chris Godwin was leading the league in receptions, and he had his ankle turned the wrong way against Baltimore, and that wiped out his season. And at the same time, Mike Evans went down with a hamstring for a bigger part of 4 weeks. And during those 4 weeks, they didn't win a game. They played well. They scored 24 or so points a game, but it wasn't the usual 29.5. So, you know, I think that taught them something that, you know, look, Mike's going to be 32 years old, and Chris is 29 coming off another serious injury. They have Jalen McMillan, who played really great down the stretch. The kid had, I think, 7 touchdowns in the final 5 games. But Emeka Abuka is Chris Godwin for all intents and purposes. He's a slot receiver. He can play all 3 positions. But he's just, you know, very efficient. Really, they can't say enough good things about him at Ohio State in terms of his leadership and his, you know, his work ethic and his precision, his route running. So they're really happy they got him because, you know, at some point you're going to have to move on from Mike and Chris, and better to do it a year too early than a year too late.
Were people maybe looking too much into this pick? Did they read a bit too much about how this and what this means for Godwin? Do you believe he's going to be a full goal for training camp in the start of the season?
Well, the answer is nobody really knows, right? He's on pace. He's doing everything that he should be. He's hitting the landmarks, whatever that is. But we know how serious this injury was. I mean, it's similar to what Dak Prescott went through, but Dak does not play wide receiver. And, you know, when your ankle is dislocated and you have a fracture in your leg, there's a lot of steps you have to take. Now, the one thing about Chris is he is an absolute warrior when it comes to doing everything he can. He came back from 3 torn knee ligaments that he got in December and was able to start the next year in 2022 at Dallas. I don't think he was the same player. I think it took him a couple of years to recover from that injury. And unfortunately, when he was really back to himself, he got hurt again. But what this does is he signed for 3 years. He's got 2 more years left. And, you know, it doesn't force them to have to rush him back into the starting lineup. And they can take their time and make sure that, you know, he's as close to 100% as he's going to be for next season. So, it does give him that luxury, and for that matter, if Mike were to go down early, they have some receivers now, and they feel pretty good about it.
Rick Stroud joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Abe's in for Mike today. Rick, they went corner, corner in round two and three. Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame, and then Jacob Paris out of Kansas State. The thinking behind that was just like us, double downing on edge rush?
Well, I mean, at corner, they've got Jamel Dean that has missed a lot of games the last 2 years. You know, prior to that, it was Carlton Davis had the same situation. They traded him away, in order to, find some, play guys that are healthier. And I think it's a similar situation with Jamel, who, has missed about seven or eight games the last 2 years and only had like one interception. So Benjamin Morrison, what's interesting about this pick is he's been extremely productive when he's been on the field, nine interceptions in 22 and 23. This guy would have been a first round pick, but here's the rub. You're trying to get healthier at that position with a guy who missed most of last year with a hip injury, and not just a hip injury, but he had a similar injury on the other hip. It's sort of congenital, I guess, in high school. So they're hoping he's healed up. They think he's going to be ready for training camp and all that stuff. If he is, this is a first round talent. Like, he's a first round talent that's got ball skills. That's one thing Todd Bowles said at the combine about this draft, is that whoever they took, he wanted ball hawks on defense. And Jacob Parrish is really a slot receiver, or slot corner, if you will, a smaller guy, but he can really hit, and he's had 23 passes defense in the last 3 years. And so, the plan is to move Tyke Smith to safety and put him back there with Antoine Winfield Jr., and Tyke played a lot of slot corner last year. And so now you have Parrish competing with Chris Isian to play inside there. So they feel like they really provided some depth in the secondary.
Rick, people love storylines, and a lot of times that comes from undrafted players. And the one that's going around in Tampa is Desmond Watson, the big defensive tackle out of Florida. Largest player, heaviest player in NFL history. I know he's lost nearly 30 pounds, and people are saying, man, you put this guy and Vita Vea right there in the middle, those two guys side by side. But this was an undrafted free agent. How realistic is it for him to make the team and become an impact player?
Yeah, that might stop the tush push a little bit, when you have those 800 pounds of tush inside there like that. I think the one thing about him is he can move, right? He can move. Now, does he need to lose more than the 23 pounds since his pro day or whatever it's been? Yeah, I mean, he definitely does. I mean, he did play at Florida, though, and so it's not like it's going to be a surprise that it's humid in Tampa in training camp. You got to be careful with a guy like that. I think the goal would be to really, whatever in shape means for him, whatever they would want him to play at, certainly not 400 pounds maybe. But if they can get him in a functional weight, in good shape, he is somebody that, is going to take up two, three gaps at times, but you'll have to have four hands on him. So, you have a lot of situations in short yardage and other things that they could use. My guess is, and I haven't laid eyes on him yet, that he would probably be a guy they would look at putting on a practice squad as he continues to, adjust to the NFL and the pace and the life and the training and so forth, and just make him the best version of himself, that he can really be. But he's an intriguing guy. It's interesting. We got him at 460-something pounds, and you got Tez Johnson at about 153. So they got the largest NFL player and the lightest NFL player. So it'd be an interesting picture when you get those two guys together on a football field.
Tez Johnson was their seventh-round pick, guys, a wide receiver out of Oregon. It's Rick Stroud joining us here on the show, talking about the NFC South guys. Tell me about Josh Grizzard. He's taken over as the OC. Liam Cohen, now the head coach, in Jacksonville, and we know they made a splash with the trade to go get Travis Hunter. What about the new OC, and what do we know about him?
Well, we know it's like their fourth offensive coordinator in as many years, and that's sometimes a good thing. I guess it means you're picking the right guys, but when you have a defensive head coach like Todd Bowles and you're successful, two of these guys, Dave Canales have now become head coaches in Liam Cohen. So, Josh is an interesting cat. I mean, the good news is that there will be finally some continuity, because he's on the staff last year And so they don't have to, you know, rip it all up and start speaking a different language to each other. And that's big, right? That's really big. So there's continuity on the staff, on the offensive staff. But Josh has not called a single play in his life. And so there's a learning curve there. They'll do a lot of call it periods in practice and training camp and stuff like that to get him, you know, up to speed with the speed of the game and such. But he knows these players. He was in charge of third downs last year, and they were the second best team on third down. You know, he's a grinder. He's a guy that is from a small town in North Carolina, Lizard Lick, I believe it's called. And he went to Yale. I mean, this guy is an absolute stud. He went to Yale, and then, you know, he well, wasn't enough education for him. He decided to go to Duke as a grad student and started coaching. So, you know, I don't know. If I had been to Yale and Duke, I'm probably not doing football, but it tells you he's a pretty smart guy because he's made it all the way as an offensive coordinator. He was hired in Miami by Clyde Christensen. He's an absolute grinder. Three head coaches kept him on the staff there, and they came up here last year. So it's somebody that's earned it, and yet, you know, there's going to be a learning curve. There's no question about that, but I think he knows the players. They know him. They have confidence in him. He knows what they all can do, particularly the receivers and Baker. So they're hoping that at least this year they won't be starting over like they have the previous three.
Hey, Rick, I know we only got a minute left and always appreciate your time here joining us. Is this still a two-team race in the NFC South, Bucks and Falcons? Or I'm fascinated by the Panthers and the potential step forward they could take.
Yeah, I wouldn't discount them. I mean, look, Bryce Young showed a lot of progress at the end of the year. You guys saw him in the final game when Atlanta needed to win, and he took them down, and Atlanta beat these guys twice with Kirk Cousins. I think they're better, you know, probably better at quarterback. Certainly they did some things and mortgaged some future for their defense in Atlanta, as you guys know. I still think it's the Falcons and the Bucks, but I would never discount. These guys struggle against Carolina as much as any team they ever play. So, you know, this division, no one's afraid of anybody. Anyone can win. And that's all cliche, but it's absolutely true. The Bucks have won four straight division titles. They've been in the playoffs five straight years. And so I know they want to be discounted. They want people to think that someone else is going to take the crown. But you got to take it off their head. You know, they're not going to hand it to you. So it should be a better race this year. We don't know. New Orleans is a wild card, right?
Yeah.
But they'll make strides, too.
Great stuff. Rick Stroud, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate you. Read his stuff. Follow him as he covers Tampa Bay and the NFL. Thanks again, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up, Steve Koonin. Hawks are in search of a president of basketball operations. They have interviewed a few candidates, but one of the guys on the list is Danny Ferry. We're going to ask Steve Koonin to confirm these reports and tell us what the Hawks are looking for in arguably their biggest hire in a very long time. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.